Welcome to another episode of A Rugby Life. I'm your host, Teddy LeGrand. I'm thrilled to have my next guest on the show, Fab Rugby Blog under his nickname, a really impressive USA Sevens career, and now involved with a great charity helping fight cancer and support the sport we both love. It's a pleasure to welcome Dallin Packy Stanford. Welcome, Dallin.
Teddy, thank you so much. It's fantastic to be on one of your podcasts, and finally we get to chat.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, for anyone out there who's, I mean, I know a lot of people in the rugby community, usually some of the people that listen to this, know of you quite well, both good and infamously. For the folks that aren't so familiar, where did it all start for you, Dallin? Tell us the beginning. How did it start?
Sure. It started in the deepest, darkest Africa, Cape Town to be exact. I spent my first 20 years growing up there and in the wonderful city. And basically, Pucky's Corner, how that came about, I get asked that a lot. We were on a rugby tour representing the University of Cape Town, and people started calling me the Pakistani, which came about from watching the movie East is East. We had several drinks, and I apparently looked like a Pakistani, being thin and shouting at each other and had all the actions and the antidotes. So since then, I had a rugby blog going at the time at university, and a friend of mine said, hey, why don't you call this blog that you write Pucky's Corner? And so that's how it came about originally, and in fact got a sponsorship from Cape to Rio, which is like a vodka and alcohol company, back in the day. So we had some great times, which also led to some interesting times. One which function I happened to tackle the then Springbok rugby coach, Nick Mallett, at a function, much to my friend's laughter. And so, yeah, Pucky's Corner just kind of took off from there.
You mean the blog itself has been running now for, what, over 10 years?
That's right, yes. It's actually been a decade already, and it's really taken off in the last few years, ever since playing rugby for the US. So, you know, I've had a good audience from that and be able to deliver some inside, you know, reports and photos, which I absolutely love, you know.
How does a South African end up in the USA?
Great question. I actually only came to America after finishing my university degree. I did marketing and sales, and came to America in 2003 just for a holiday. There was a mutual friend that I'd met coaching a rugby team called the Oxy Tigers in LA. Came out for 6 months and had the time of my life. We played in a Division II league rugby for 15s, which is good fun. And then in the summer, I stuck around and played some sevens. And it was only – sevens is not that big in South Africa. This was back in, you know, the early 2000s. And in America, they have amazing tournaments all over, as you're well aware. The Las Vegas Midnight Sevens
is a fabulous tournament.
Exactly. It was such a blast. And that kicked it off for me. That was the first tournament I went to. And then after that, it was San Diego, Santa Barbara. There's one in L.A. So we kind of went all over California playing sevens and had the time of my life. And that prompted me to try stay for another season. And so the rugby club got me a visa. In fact, the two gentlemen there was Pat Guthrie and Matt Brown, who were involved with Fox Rugby. They had a rugby show on TV back then, kind of like a pub rugby show, and they managed to get me an 18-month visa. But as luck would have it, the week I arrive in America with the visa, I'm here to stay, soccer buys out the rugby channel.
Oh, no.
Exactly. So I had obviously the visa and I could stay in the country. So my host at the time, who was the coach of the rugby side, James Walker, a fellow South African actually, he said to me, he said, Dallin, don't worry. Why don't you stick around? You have a year and a half. We'll find you another job, play some rugby, and you still have a great time, you know, just out of university. And so I said, absolutely. And he actually, one quote, which I'll never forget, he said to me, he said, Dallin, I actually wouldn't be surprised if you met an American girl, got married, and ended up playing rugby for America. To which I laughed at him and said, "You, bud, give me another drink, you know."
But James must have known something, though, because you did end up doing that.
Exactly. I mean, super intelligent and one of my best friends to this day. I don't know how he knew, but a few months later, I met the girl of my dreams, and a year later, was actually married. Got married on the beach in Malibu with some of our closest friends, and you know, the next thing, there we are, telling my parents I'm actually going to stick around a little bit longer.
You sure James didn't have anything in the planning here? You sure James wasn't actually, like, you know, planning this all out?
Oh, no, I could be, and I fell for it, you know. But hey, what a dream life.
Well, it brings me around to the fact of, like, all right, so now you're in the US, you're living here. How did you end up on the USA Sevens national side?
So those a few years that I was playing sevens, particularly sevens for James's team, the Oxy Tigers, we had a couple of reasonable good showings. And in fact, we got invited one year to the national tournament, national sevens tournament, my very first time ever. And at that time, Al Caravelli, the national coach, was scouting players, a new group of players for the IRB series that he was selecting. And we happened to have a reasonably good good tournament. I think we came fifth or something like that. So it was not bad for a first showing. And a lot of us got invited to these tryouts. And and when he called me aside, I said, "But Al, you must know that I'm South African. I'm not American." He goes, "Well, you've got married recently. And you lived in the country for longer than 3 years. So technically, you're eligible. As long as you're going to make the U.S. your home." Which obviously I was and am. So it was a great surprise, and I ended up going to the trials and playing in a couple of preseason tournaments. And then, the rest was history.
I mean, you had a pretty good career. I mean, you played from 2006 through 2009. I think you did about 13 series in there total?
That's right, yes. And that's a funny story in itself. So, a dream come true playing rugby for America. And my wife was, she enjoyed the game and, she was learning more about it. But she wasn't that enthused about me, getting hit by these big players. And I said, no. I said, that's 15. Sevens is a lot smaller. And, I'll be fine. I'll only be gone a few tours. So it starts off with us playing three IRB tournaments. We go to Wellington and we play Hong Kong and then our own tournament. And we do reasonably well, in fact, that the IRB grant us six tournaments the following year. So I have to break the news to her that, hey, this is so exciting. Look at this. All these amazing places we're going to. And she goes, well, I can't come along, can I? And I said, no, it's kind of more of a guy tour thing, And so she understood. And then the following year, I said to her, well, now that we've got the World Cup coming up and we've been granted core status, so now we're playing in all eight tournaments, I probably will be away for half of the year. So it had its challenges at times.
I think anyone who's in a relationship of any kind with a rugby player knows this story very well. I don't think it's a surprise there.
exactly. And the guys would laugh too because they knew that I wouldn't break the news to my wife, ahead of time. I would literally tell her the week before going, by the way, honey, I'm actually, next week there's a camp and then we're probably going to be heading off to, Australia and Hong Kong. So she goes, what do you mean probably? I go, well, we are. I'm just letting So yeah, it was chaos.
She hadn't twigged or something that, this little thing called the Hong Kong Seven that seems to happen every year around the same kind of time.
Exactly. It was amazing, So in fact, we're having our 5-year wedding anniversary later this year. So it all worked out well. And again, the rugby playing wise, the World Cup was my last tournament. And it was a dream come true just being involved with those 3 years and meeting and playing with all those wonderful players,
Outside of the sevens from that one, have you played a lot of local clubs? Other than I know you mentioned the Oxy Tigers in LA. Who else have you been involved with?
Yeah, so the Oxy Tigers. So they were a Division II side who were looking to grow. They didn't have enough resources in the end, so some of the players moved over to Belmont Shore, a very prestigious club out of Long Beach.
Yeah.
In fact, and James Walker, the coach, he joined Belmont Shore as well, and so we all went across and kind of formed an elite seven side. And so I played a little bit of 15s with them, but solely concentrated on sevens when I was playing for the US. And so much so that to this day, I just do sevens. And so I still play for Belmont, even though I live in Austin, Texas. I fly across for the qualifying tournaments, and then we play nationals. We had a good run 2 years ago. We came first. And this year, we got beaten by these real fast Fijians from old Puget Sound Beach. in a cliffhanger of a final. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Playing the club sevens is great. In fact, Las Vegas will be there trying to defend our title in the CCES series.
Excellent. Good stuff. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Good stuff. So the one question I always love to ask people, particularly when they're involved in the rugby and stuff like it, is what do you do that pays the bills?
That's great. Well, firstly, when I first received my paycheck from rugby, I couldn't believe it. I kept it and I was going to frame it. I have it somewhere. But as a young kid growing up, my parents were very adamant that, I was passionate about rugby, wanted to be a Springbok as every young, person growing up in their country wants to play for the national team, whatever sport. And they said to me, just be sure that you have an education behind you because once rugby is over and you hurt or injured or retired, you have to have something to fall back on. And so those were very wise words and lessons taught at a young age. So the studies are always a priority, and rugby was obviously a passion, but I knew that it wouldn't pay the bills. To this now, currently, rugby pays the bills, which is great because rugby media is what I love doing, as well as now recently, more recently, working for Tackling Cancer, which is a rugby nonprofit. So all in all, what pays the bills in a whole, it was playing, and now it's more writing about it for several different websites and then working for Tackling Cancer, you know, so it kind of merges into one big hub.
Yeah, definitely. And I know outside of Paki's Corner, there are other stuff that you write. I know you write for the Eagles, I think 15s, and is there other sites as well that you do?
Yes. So there's eagles15.com, and that's a website run by the national players from the Eagles 15 side. They felt that USA Rugby perhaps wasn't providing enough media about each player and that sort of thing, and it's very valid. So Chris Wiles and Todd Clever asked me to be the editor for that site, and loving that, and would hopefully try to get to the Rugby World Cup next year with the boys. And then there's Rugby Zone, which stream online matches in the US. I do a weekly column for them. And there's another new site called Rugby IQ. RugbyIQ.com is a technical website, which is really great, and especially, I think, for America, for coaches, for players who want to learn more about the game. I write a seven specific articles for them. And then there's an English website called ur7s.com, and I try to cover the American scene, what's happening domestically and internationally for those few sites.
All right, excellent. And you mentioned Tackling Cancer, which I think we definitely need to talk about because it's...
Absolutely.
You brought up to me about a few months ago about this, and I think it's an absolutely fantastic foundation. Give us a little bit of story about how Tackling Cancer started.
Sure. Now, James Walker, the gentleman I mentioned earlier, who kind of, you know, said I would foretold the future, he's basically behind Tackling Cancer. Him and two other gentlemen in the rugby community decided that, you know, they really wanted to help out special causes. And one cause very close to a lot of our hearts is cancer. And so using the rugby community, you know, and the context we built up, Tackling Cancer was just an obvious fit where whether it be a raffle or whether it be a fundraising dinner or something large that the organization hosts, the rugby members and the community will contribute, you know, to raise money, A, for them, for the research for cancer, but also it would help benefit the rugby club. So it's a win-win in that scenario.
Yep. And so far, I mean, how many clubs and stuff are on board at the moment?
Right now, how we've done it is because America's kind of tricky because each state has its own rules, especially when it comes to if we're going to do a raffle or something like that, a nonprofit. So we've now Texas. We've got. Currently, 20 teams signed up in this current raffle that we're doing right now. We have another 20 teams that are going to take part early next year. Because what we'd like to do is kind of run one or two raffles a year in each state. And, you know, a team doesn't have to take part in both of them. They just do one because you don't want to overburden their rugby community. California, we've got plenty of teams signed up as well. And then we're moving into a few other states. We're going to be in Iowa and Virginia, Colorado, and Illinois soon.
Wow,
so exactly. So we've six or seven states within the next month or two, which is super exciting, and it also keeps me very busy, you know?
Yeah, I bet. If there are any clubs out there that are listening, if they want to get any more information, where should they go?
Excellent. I would love them to go to tacklingcancer.org. That is the website. They can also just sort of do Google search for Tackling Cancer. We're on Facebook as well under Tackling Cancer Foundation and on Twitter. And so if anybody goes to those websites, it'll be an email, info@tacklingcancer.org. That'll email will come to me, and we'll get the teams more information and hopefully get them signed up. You know, it's a real, obviously a great cause. Plus the prizes are legitimate. We're offering overseas prizes, trip for two to Hawaii, to Fiji, that sort of thing, you know. So you're not just going to win a couple of cameras or anything, you know.
Yeah, you won me over when I saw the prizes as well. I think I got a little ecstatic on Twitter when I saw the prizes, and I was posting. I'm like, wow, they're going to Fiji. Oh, sounds great. I'll do that. So
absolutely, we thought, you know, I'd rather make it, you know, something extraordinary to be involved in from start to finish than do anything half-assed, you know. So we stand by our word, you know.
Okay, excellent. Now, looking forward, what's in Paki's future?
Well, New York City. The Big Apple is calling. My wife is into acting and theater. She got a full scholarship to UT, and that's why we came to Austin. And now she's the lead role in Rent. So it's super exciting, and her career has really taken off. And so New York City would be the next stop for us, I think, around about April next year. So it won't be April Fool's when we pull up on your doorstep looking for a place to stay.
I'll be around. You know, I'm always around. I'm around. You definitely can come and hang out.
good. Exactly. And then just with the other website stuff, I've got a friend who's going to help me redesign the website and get that all up to date and everything. And I'm involved with coaching as well. I love, obviously love rugby. And so I've coached a few teams out here in Austin and we'll be looking to do some more coaching in New York. Just my goal is just to be involved in rugby from start to finish, you know?
Well, Dallin, it's been a pleasure having you on, mate. I am really looking forward to that pint in April. I guarantee it. I think there's more than one, but there'll be a couple in there.
There will be a couple, Hedley. thank you so much for having me on and obviously love your work, follow you all the time, you know?
That's great. Thanks a lot. Anyway, folks, thank you for tuning in. Thanks for listening. As always, you can find any of the stuff that's been mentioned in the podcast. You'll also find links up on the website as well. Again, thanks for listening. So, till next time, cheers.